Blog Talk Radio.
I see a few pockets of people that ain't acting crazy. Because I'm here live.
Get it, Frank Live.
About half of y'all motherfuckers on the hill are doing your thing. Are y'all ready to get live or what?
Get it, Frank Live.
We gonna set this off right or what? It's Friday night. We'll see. I'm the cream of the crop. I rise to the top. Never eat a pig.
Yes, here it is, another wonderful evening where we can talk Canadian Football League. And, you know, the conclusion I drew the most important thing, and it probably has nothing whatsoever to do with the football game. I found out something yesterday watching both those games that I have arrived at a conclusion. And that conclusion, my friends, is going to come right out of left field. Just like the freaking wind was coming. Now, the second game wasn't so bad. But that Hamilton-Montreal game? What a waste of time. I'm never going to get back those 3 hours of watching guys try, and get this, try to play football. And I must admit, their accomplishments were masterful. These guys were awesome. These athletes overcame the kind of adversity, a negative vibe, if you will, that the wind was. It really wasn't a matter of which team played better. It was a matter of which team wasn't affected by the wind. And however that wind was blowing, how it affected their game. I really was disappointed. Thank goodness we're not going back to Guelph, for the CFL, I mean. For the CIS, that's fine. That's fine. You know, I get it. You know, you got to play outside. Not everybody can afford an indoor stadium like we have here in Toronto. And the reason I mention that is I am going to miss the Dome. In fact, I'm hanging on to my seat. They're going to have to pull me out. Because I don't care what the reporters say, who usually I like to call the stained glass wretches, the guys that sit behind windows and talk about how football is an outdoor game. And just think, those two games, the one in Saskatchewan, not so much. And that may have had more to do with the fact that, you know, Saskatchewan and of course, Calgary and, well, BC not so much. You know, they get that kind of weather before we do here in the warm climes of southern Ontario, you know, protected by that shield that we have near Niagara Falls. So I was totally disappointed in that game, the rain, and I know people say, you know, that's real football and that's the way it's supposed to be played and all that wonderful stuff. It did, you know, it didn't hinder the drama. The drama was there. What a great game by Hamilton. And you know what? A great game as well by Montreal. Montreal came up short. Their defense got tired. They got tired, I guess, covering the assets that Hamilton had out there. And I suppose also that the second half was basically a descriptor of what happens when you have halftime and you come up with a plan to counteract what you've seen in the first half by the opposition. And Kent Austin has shown, if he's shown anything, he's shown that he is an excellent tactician. He really impressed me with the way he sent out his offense. I mean, he rolled out all three quarterbacks. I mean, you know, some would suggest that was a genius move. Then I'm going to have to share in some of that genius because if any of you have followed this program, I told you this would be the playoffs of the backup. Now, the other two teams, the backup was on the other side. Smith was awesome. Great quarterback, just couldn't win. Ran out of steam. I don't know, the defense shut them down. They came out with a plan in the second half. And Hamilton just outplayed Montreal enough to win. And I think what the wind did, it basically made the game a lot closer. It could have got out of hand real early in favor of Montreal, or the reverse is true. But we must remember that it doesn't matter what the weather is. We're going to play unless there's lightning and stuff like that. So the winner won, and that's all there is to it. We can't complain about who won, because they did, and they deserved their victory, and that was Hamilton. In the other game, I was impressed with Durant. Darian Durant was, you know, Mike or Manasseh, whatever we call him, depending who's on the phone with us on the show. I have to say, Mike must have a grin from ear to ear. He has been extolling the virtues of this quarterback that is dying to win a Grey Cup. He has knocked on the door so many times, and Darian Durant has not, you know, had as many visits or, well, can you win enough championships? I think not. So basically, it was the Durant show, in my opinion. Yeah, the running back. He did an okay job, but he also got stopped a few times, and actually for a loss, too, you know. So I wouldn't say that the running game was that impressive. But I have to say what impressed me a whole bunch, a whole lot, really did, was Travis Lule. The man was obviously healthy. How many people would have even given him, like, I'm sure there were some bets on time, how long he'd be in the game, you know. I'm sure most of the bets were like first quarter, maybe the first 5-10 minutes of the first quarter, first time he gets popped. And he got popped really good. And he still survived. That's something that that I found amazing and good for him. We do have some tough quarterbacks in this league, and Travis Lule proved yesterday afternoon that he is one of those quarterbacks that's real tough. So congratulations to the BC Lions for putting up a great fight against a team that didn't just barely win or... Let's not play down the way that team played. Saskatchewan Rough Riders, they can smell the coffee brewing. That's right. They're on a roll. And we all know who they're up against next. The Calgary Stampeders and the Hamilton Tiger Cats are up against the Toronto Argonauts. And for those of you that, the Hamilton Tiger Cats won, so maybe I should play something Tiger Cat-ish. But I won't be catty about it. I'll actually play something Tiger Cat-ish. What do you think? Should we play something Tiger Cat-ish? Well, hey, you know what? Let's start with this. In honor of the victory by the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
I am Rider Pride.
The flag bearers of our league.
The spirit of our game.
I will deafen all foes.
I will represent my team,
my province,
and my fellow fans.
with honor and pride.
And inspire the next generation
of the Rider Nation.
Green is my color.
Football is my game.
This is my pledge.
This is my pledge.
This is my pledge.
Yes. One more, and that one for the Tie Cats for winning their game.
There's an unwritten code in Hamilton. If you live by it, chances are you've replaced the last beer in a cooler. You don't talk during the national anthem. You believe that great things can come from a little room above a fruit stand. You know Mac is a university, not a computer. Your child's first words were Oski Wee Wee. You know a red hat looks good with black and gold, and understand that double blue only looks good on the police. You believe hot water isn't a necessity for the visitor's dressing room. You've hit every green light on Main Street twice. You believe there's a little general in all of us. You only wear your good hard hat to games. You know King Kong was more than an ape, he was a five-time All-Star. You've parked on somebody's lawn to catch a kickoff. You know that Porter is a quarterback, not a bellhop. You've worn a kilt to a football game. You understand that every once in a while you have to be the center. You believe a football team can outlast 22 prime ministers, two world wars, a Great Depression, and still give birth to a pearl. You've worn a garbage bag as a raincoat. You've never seen a fair catch. You pick a concession line not based on how long the line is, but how hot that cashier looks. You understand that Labor Day is more than an extra day off. And no matter what happens on the field, your season is a success if you beat the Argos.
Yes, and we'll have to wait till next week sometime to determine whether that actually will happen. Our first caller is Facebook. Facebook, how you doing?
What's going on, Frank? How you doing tonight?
Oh, you're calling on Facebook tonight.
Yes, sir.
Congratulations on Durant's fine showing. I don't know if you heard me. I ate a little bit of crow. He really did play well.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I basically lost my voice from all the yelling and cheering from Sunday night, so I'll probably be just sitting back and listening tonight.
I bet you have even a few empty tear ducts as well. There were a couple of plays that would have made you cry, huh?
Yeah.
Well, but, you know what?
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, no, you go ahead. I'll bring John in now.
Okay. Yep.
While you talk.
No, I was just saying. What just a great weekend of football. That was a great showcase for the CFL, and I loved it. I hope next week can live up to that.
You know, I guess you didn't hear me say that what I witnessed on television. I wasn't there, so I can't make claims of knowing what it was like being there. But I'll tell you, I was not impressed with the weather affected game in the Eastern playoff game.
Yeah, but honestly, though, wouldn't you rather prefer the that weather versus 19 below in Saskatchewan?
Well, I don't doubt for a second that you're right. You know, that's a slam dunk on your part, and you know, that's great. You know, all I'm saying is that maybe I've become spoiled by being in the Sky Dome and yeah, being able to watch players play to the best of their ability. Now, on the other hand, you know, they're not just playing against the other team; they're playing against the elements. So I guess there has to be a modicum of respect for that as well. And I think that's where John wants to kick in.
Okay.
Do I?
No, I don't know. Good. Do you?
It turned out just exactly the way I thought it would. Precipitation came down to the last play of the game. And that was kind of easy to read. It was easier to read when I heard what the weather was going to be like in Guelph. But kind of a wacky day because it was sunny, windy, raining, sunny, windy, all in a three-hour span, you know. It was good stuff. Entertainment, CFL style at its best. And I think we're getting what the CFL would like to see is two rivalry teams facing each other in their divisional finals. It can't get any better than that. I'm sorry. I mean, you know,
okay,
it is what it is, and we are happy that the Ticats scratched and clawed their way to make it to the East. And I'm grateful that they had a chance to enjoy playoff victory this year, And this is where it ends for them, unfortunately. This will be our miniature Grey Cup, though. It will be our miniature Grey Cup. And it will be a ruckus half-and-half crowd, which will make it the feel of a Grey Cup, as it should be, half-and-half, you know. So I'm looking really forward to it. I know the Deep Argo fans perhaps were not cheering for the Ticats. They'd rather have Hamilton. But no, I'm liking it. I'm liking it the way it fell out. And guys, we couldn't have asked any better scenario out in the West either. Come on. I mean, you know, perhaps
absolutely.
The Riders would have liked to have it at home, right? And I'm a little bit disappointed with the Rider fans who didn't show up. Really kind of shocked. A lot of people were surprised that there were so many empty seats. But, you know, I guess
they were in the end
zone.
They were in the end zones. They were in the Grey Cup seats.
I know, Frank, but it's a one-time thing there. It comes only once in a while. They're never going to have those stands erected like that again until they get their new stadium. It's an opportunity to enter the playoffs in a sold-out atmosphere, festive environment. It always is in Riderland, okay? But the fact that the stands are there, I, for one, was shocked that it wasn't all full. You know, I figured they would jump on the opportunity, as many of them as possible, to partake in this year's run. You know what I mean? And that's right to the very end. So a little bit kind of surprised. You know, I thought, you know, what's up, Mike? I was thinking of you. I'm thinking, where are all your Rider Nation fans? We watch the most television. Our attendance is the highest in the CFL. But we can't sell out a playoff game. Okay.
Oh, okay. Can I just answer that real quick?
Go, real quick.
Okay. Well, first off, they had 30,900, right? And that would have been, based on the capacity they usually had, that would have been a sellout. Secondly, everyone was pessimistic on the team. The team finished 3-6 on the season. They had all kind of issues. The offense had been lacking. So listening to the Rider radio leading up to that week, just everyone was pessimistic on the team, and most people were actually picking up to lose.
What?
Yeah.
No. Pessimism in Rider Nation? No, I thought you guys support your team 100%. What's up with this? That means you had doubt? Pessimism equals doubt, my friend. So, no, I don't know. Not a good excuse there, bro. I think they just lack to show their support the way they should, okay? And, I'm only saying this not because, you know, I want to speak here in Toronto what's going on, but if you're going to talk about highest attendance, highest viewership, we're the frontier for this league. We're the
Let's talk about the games. Joining us now is Restricted. I don't know where Restricted's calling from.
Restricted or
on Restricted?
It says Restricted. So is it Chris? Christopher?
Yeah, it's my Skype. It's Christopher.
Oh,
yes, I'm here. I had to come in here and let Mike have a shot.
We're going to talk about the Western Final first. And by the way, thanks to you, I hooked up with some guy named Adam Big Hill.
Yeah, he's my buddy.
Well, you flipped something, and I sent him a comment, and I mentioned to him that while I was watching the replay this afternoon or later this afternoon, and I mentioned to him that penalty he got on the hook slide was bogus. It was real late hook slide, and he got a penalty on it. That really sucked. Yeah, I was going to invite him to come on the show, but I just sent him the link of the show so he can, if he's curious, you know, listen, and then we'll get him to come on. You know, now that we've built a little bit of reputation, and now that I have some inside guys like John and you, Chris, out in BC, and Mike in Minnesota, you know, I might be able to hook up with some of these players. We'll get them in and we'll talk to them and ask their opinion on some of the stuff that how their year went and ask them about how things went. So that's in the future. That's what we're going to try and do, especially after the Grey Cup's over. Maybe we'll get to know some players. That's my
cool
hope. So now the Western Final was a better game only because you got to see the talent a little better than you did in the Eastern Final. In the Eastern Final, the wind and rain and the conditions were part of the game.
I'm sorry, I had to butt in. It's the week before, okay? So the jousting has begun, and you say that the weather was the constrictor for us not to be able to see the talent.
Well,
all I'm going to say is perhaps maybe Frank, there wasn't any talent to be shown,
oh,
and the weather was just the excuse.
I don't think so, John. I don't think so, John. In all honesty.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Hamilton and Montreal look real. But let's go back to the Western Final. The Western Final was not a shoot 'em up, but it was the next best thing to a shoot 'em up, wasn't it, Christopher?
I was happy with it, for the most part. There's a lot of things that weren't very wonderful in that game, especially we'll start with the officiating, but you know we can bitch about that on every game. Hey, even Mike was bitching about the officiating. He said BC got a bum rap.
Well, they did. That was pass interference. That was pass interference in the end zone.
Yeah.
On which play? So, on the Eastern Final or the Western Final? They had two of them. We're talking Western right now.
We can get into the Eastern problem with the officiating. You know, as far as the officiating is concerned, these guys are part-time referees. They do a great job considering what they get paid or how much time they have to concentrate on their profession. But, you know, having said that, there were also Hamilton fans who felt that there were calls that were missed earlier in the game. Christopher.
I'm not talking about Hamilton. We're talking about the BC-Saskatchewan game.
Oh, sorry, BC-Saskatchewan. Sorry, I just got John on the brain there.
Stop that.
Yeah. Okay, no. Yes, but there was the reception in the end zone it was pass interference, if I'm thinking of the right play. I don't know. Do you know what I mean, the one at the end?
I know exactly what you're talking about. There were several of them, and, you know, and we can go back and forth and everything else, and I personally think the officials have been favoring the Riders all season, and that's my personal opinion, and I know it's going to be disagreed upon, but I've watched every game, and I BC didn't play until the end, so that's not even part of it. I was disappointed with the outcome. Obviously, I'm a Lions fan. I would have loved to have seen them shut them down as the underdog coming in. I really am questioning Rider Nations who's saying that how wonderful and how awesome their team is when they barely squeak through the team that they think is just garbage. I think it was Mike last week that said there's no talent in BC and that they were lucky to be where they were. And I thought we still had the same record, 11-7 throughout this season as the Riders did. So I don't know how that would possibly be there. But anyhow, I think it was a well-balanced game, went back and forth, and we had fun. If Lule hadn't got hurt or had come back a game or two earlier, it wouldn't have been a contest.
BC really did play their best game against Saskatchewan yesterday. Pretty much the best game
they
of the year.
They played a good game.
On both sides of the ball, you know, they've played great defensive games, and they've had great offensive games, but I don't think they've had a better balanced game than that one.
It was a good game. I was happy with them. I'm proud of them. I'm not sure that the better team won that day, but it happened. And it's not that great, but just the way that I feel.
Well, it is, everything, when it comes to sports, everything's subjective, right? Speaking of subjective,
yeah.
Mike, why don't you broach the subject?
Yeah, during the game, me and Chris were actually chatting on Facebook. There was a chat on the CFL is the best league in the world Facebook page. But he said this great comment during the game, which was, look at all the play that these criminals are making. Where would the Riders be if this team had any ethics? And to me, that was the funniest line ever. It was killing me.
He was right, though, wasn't he?
Yeah,
I mean,
he was.
Did you see those catches? I mean, I wanted to review the games, the Western and Eastern. I wanted to talk about the best offensive plays, the best defensive plays, the best special team plays. But one of the big highlights had to be those dreads picking up that ball with that underhand catch. I don't even know how he could catch it underhand.
Seriously.
Kai Smith taking that deflected ball off of Bell was poetry. Okay, that was just so
totally.
That was wonderful. I applaud him for that catch. It was wonderful. But he shouldn't have been on the field.
We'll find out later. We'll find out for sure. The jury's still out, and that no pun intended. we still got, you know, it may turn out that way, and you know, you may have more fodder for saying that, you know, Saskatchewan was favored this year, Christopher. No doubt about that. But if it turns out that this is just a loudmouth who tried picking on the wrong guys, then we'll all say, okay, well, all right, that was a good idea. It would have made a good story, but now that story's history. Yeah, Taj Smith is an incredible athlete. Holy crap, the catches he made. You know, I can't believe it. And that catch that you're talking about with Bell, it was in live action, it looked like slow motion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, that was the amazing thing about it.
Bell should have knocked it down.
Yeah, he should have. But instead of knocking it down, he knocked it up. He turned it into volleyball.
But,
scream at my TV often. I do not scream at my TV often, but I was yesterday.
So I guess you got to take the Windex to it today.
Yeah.
I've had a couple of days like that, too, where I need the Windex. Where it gets really verbal. But you know what?
Yeah.
If I'm a BC fan, I'm very happy with the job they did, because they really did scare the crap. There was that moment during the game where you could hear a pin drop in Mosaic.
Oh, several times, several different times. You know, nobody expected them to win. I didn't expect them to win. Okay.
Yeah, who did?
Nobody did. Whether or not Lule was going to play, whether or not he actually played well or not, who knew? There was just so many variables. I did not expect them to win. They put up a hell of a fight. The problem that I see here is that if everybody wrote off the Lions the way that they did, how are the Riders even going to stand up to the Stamps next week? Because the Stampeders are, without question, the best team in this league.
And the conditions
are
going to be...
That's probably further in the show.
Yeah, but that's going to be when we're going to start talking about the matchups on Wednesday. I don't want to disrespect those two games we saw, and I think there's a lot we can talk about. The officiating was raised. As far as offensive plays, we talked about some of those receptions. Did any of you guys have any other highlights, plays that really caught your eye in that final?
Oh, I was going to say I was going to be in the East semifinal. I thought that touchdown by C.J. Gable was just epitomized, just the great year that kid had. It was fantastic. He did the spin and the little jump at the end. It was amazing.
Okay, remember to say that when we get into the Eastern final. In the Western final, let's stay on the Western final, because I really would like to give props to Saskatchewan and, of course, to British Columbia for playing a really great game. They really did have a great game, and it really could have gone either way. As far as I'm concerned, the quarterback highlight of the night was Durant in his play and Lule in the fact that he played from one end, from one end of the clock to the other without interruption. He really took a bit of a pounding, and he played great. That was a great game by Lule, a great effort. He almost single-handedly beat Saskatchewan with a couple of his runs.
No arguments. Durant, to me, the entire game was really a non-issue. Right up until the fourth quarter, when the guy started taking off and running for himself, and it was like he lit a fire under the ass of the entire Riders Nation when he did that. And up to that point, it was really a non-issue. He really did not play that well during the game. And then he just took the ball, ran up the middle, and, I mean, excuse me, BC, were you not expecting that?
Yep.
Four times
exactly.
In a row? I mean, defense, come on. Give your head a shake here.
Especially into the red zone.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a rocket scientist, and I'm not a football coach, but, you know, I could see it coming.
sometimes it's like for some players, and, you know, these are cliches, and we all hear them all the time. Sometimes it seems like the game's running by in slow motion for them. They make it look so easy, you know. You get some of those, there were a couple of, what's that guy's name? Some running back you like, Mike, for Saskatchewan, what's his name?
Who, Corey Sheets?
Yeah, that's his name, Corey Sheets. I got to remember that name because I didn't hear it enough, but there were a couple of times when, you know, he really found a couple of openings, and he really looked really good, you know. But I don't think they needed him, you know. I don't think they needed him yesterday. And if he's got a better game, then Christopher, I would say then Calgary's got a problem. But if he runs like he did yesterday, Calgary's going to win the running game. Unless, I mean, you know, I wasn't that impressed with him. I know. I wasn't that impressed with him. I'm just saying. I am trying to talk about yesterday's game. That I wasn't impressed with him.
Okay. 17 carries, 68 yards. His longest was 12. Okay? Lule's stats were better.
There you go. Yep. He had a couple of 15-yard runs. 12, I think, 17, 18.
Lule was 5 runs for 60 yards, 23 was his longest. I mean, Durant did well with 35 as his longest, okay? Harris and Logan, the two-headed monster,
were good
for 150 yards between the two of them. Yeah,
Harris, they were on the game yesterday. Is there truth to that, like that he is happy with being one of two running backs? I'm referring to Harris. Is he really happy
no.
to share the backfield with Logan?
No. Would you be?
Was he playing for maybe a contract elsewhere to be traded so that he can, you know, do you think he'll move? And yesterday was just a way for him to promote himself?
I hope not.
Because he was good yesterday. When they gave him the ball, he was good. He looked lively. His legs were really alive.
Well, 10 carries, 93 yards. That's a 9.3 yards per carry average.
That's not bad.
It's tops in the league if you go all season with that.
So the best offensive plays, Taj Smith, Chris, Christopher?
Yeah.
Any other?
Yeah, he scared me.
What's his name? Breckenridge, Tyron. Did you like that head-to-head, helmet-to-helmet, Breckenridge, that helmet-to-helmet hit at the sidelines?
Yeah, the one that didn't get penalized?
Yeah, that one. I don't like those kinds of missed calls. Those are the missed calls I don't like. The ones that could actually hurt players, those ones I don't like. I got to be honest with you. Those ones bother me. You know, I can live with the fact that, you know, like they gave the 15 yards, was it roughing the passer?
Yeah.
Or gross misconduct. I can live with those.
Chris Williams, when he reached across the top of the helmet.
Yeah. You know, I can live with those. Yeah, I can live with those. I can live with those, you know, those kind of calls if you say that's bad. But when they miss the kinds of plays that can really hurt somebody, that makes me cringe a little bit. And to me, that's the low light of the game. Was there a whoopsie in your mind about that game? Like a head scratcher, a play that you, why the hell did they do that? You actually did say that already. Like, they should have seen Durant coming. But anything other than that?
No. I mean, that was the whole game. They lost it on Saskatchewan didn't throw the ball in the fourth quarter. I mean, you should have known that those running plays were coming.
Well, I guess
if
you're not throwing,
you're handicapped without Solly E.
Yeah, but did anybody think that Durant was going to outrun Sheets in total yards? No.
Not me.
Nobody thought that. No. No, but that was a surprise. I'm still surprised he got 97 yards in the whole game. And Sheets only got 68. I mean, I think that's
the
first.
Are they saving him?
Yeah.
Are they saving him, John?
You know, they had to pull out all their secret little weapons. I mean, they showed everything that they needed to show, and Calgary's all prepared for it, you know. I think that's the advantage Calgary right now. You got a banged-up team because, you know what, guys? That was a hard-hitting game. And if anybody's played any sort of contact sport outside in the cold, it hurts 10 times more. So the bruises might be numb, when you finish, but believe me, everybody's feeling it on both teams that are moving on next week. And I'm not sure who got it worse, because the Eastern Final was as hard-hitting as the Western, but the Western Final, man, holy smokes. That was some body contact stuff going on there, bro. I liked it. It was a good hitting game. The shocker for me, again, you guys said it already, was Durant. Okay? So, end of story. If they can hold Durant, and I think Calgary will, guys. I think Calgary is just licking their chops waiting for the Riders, the banged-up Riders to come in. And they're under pressure. You know, they're under so much pressure. It's different if you'd be playing at home and you got that adrenaline rush with your fans supporting you, okay? And it kind of makes your knees stop from wobbling after a while. But when you're in, you know, the other team's park and you're in a good crowd in Calgary, we all know that the Calgary fans are great fans out there. So it's going to be tough for the Riders. I don't see them coming back home playing the Grey Cup, guys. I don't. I'm going to say it right now. My wife said it at the beginning of the season, and we were trying to talk about the earlier, Frank and Mike, about who said Calgary-Toronto. She's, I said it. Anyway, it's going to be like that again. So, hard-hitting game yesterday. Great.
Now, you know, there's a lot to be said for the fact that injuries, it's like in hockey when a player, something happens to his foot, until he takes his skate off, he really doesn't know how much pain he's in.
Yeah.
the game, John, did you see anything defensively that really caught your eye by either team?
No. I think it was a tight game. I was surprised how well BC played on offense. It kind of looked to me, you know, and I know Chris is going to agree with me, it looked good for BC in the first half. I thought, you know, maybe the Riders are going to come out strong. They're Lule, like, you know, we all thought when people throw distance, and his arm looked pretty good. I'm not sure how good it feels today, but it looked good yesterday. And just a couple of plays here or there, and, you know, again, we're going to mention a couple of ref calls that made the ball move, and there could have been a couple drives killed if the penalties didn't happen. But it is what it is, and unfortunately, it sets up for a bigger disappointment for the Rider fans this week coming up. Right, Mike?
You know, like, when you go through all the points that you brought up for the Riders going to Calgary, those all sort of play against Calgary. Number one, the Stamps are the ones actually they're going to have the most pressure next week, because them being hosting the game, the expectation is all on them to beat Saskatchewan. And the other point is with the crowd, I don't know if you guys knew this, but whenever Saskatchewan comes to Calgary, Calgary actually practices with crowd noise as if they're going on the road. And this is the only time where, for Calgary, the crowd is literally going to be 50-50. And in most cases, the Rider fans are usually louder than the Stamp fans. So for me, I don't see the crowd as being as big of a deal. It'll be almost like a neutral site game where it's pretty much, you know, 50-50. And then, like I said, the Rider fans usually are louder anyway because they support their team better. But all the pressure's on Calgary right now. And they already have several huge injuries. Their leading receiver's out. Their second leading receiver's out. Both their starting defensive tackles are out. They've got several injuries in their secondary. And the Riders are coming in with momentum on their side. And, you know, at this point, they got nothing to lose, right? So I like the chances, to be honest with you. And I think Durant, that had to be a huge confidence boost for the guy to have that game. And to me, if they come in with, you know, on fire, ready to go, they're already in playoff mode. The Stamps have to get into that mode. And the Stamps have to answer the big question, who's going to be at quarterback, right? Is it Glenn? Is it Tate? I mean, what's going on? So we'll see.
Okay, so that's what you thought of the game that just went by. You did Wednesday's show now.
That's fine. He's got to let it out.
No, definitely he's got to let it out, because he's dying for that game to come. I agree with, I agree that Saskatchewan, their fans may or may not, maybe, I don't know. I think they showed us the way they are. Unfortunately, they're a group of people that are really dying for a winner, and they spook way too easy, as far as I'm concerned. They're great fans, but it's been so long, and they want it so bad, it is hard for them to keep the mojo going, in my opinion. And that's
yesterday
what I saw
like,
in the game yesterday.
Yesterday was a neutral site for BC.
It sure was. I mean, it was very noisy.
You know, the crowd... didn't affect our game.
I know it
there
didn't.
No time counts. There was nothing that it was half the game. It was a complete non-issue. It was like, whoa, where did the fans go? And they're so finicky.
Well,
that's
you know
the word
what?
I wanted.
You know what? Just because of how popular that team is, you know, it's like the Leaf Nation, you know, Rider Nation, Leaf Nation, same sort of family, right? Where, you know, you spend so long not winning that you think something's going to go wrong. And then that's what happens, right? And then it translates onto the field. So hopefully, I mean, from a Saskatchewan perspective, I hope the fans can maintain their loyalty and keep their cool and support their team and not worry about, you know, like number 31 said, the pinball, last year before the Grey Cup. He said, you're going to run into adversity. You have to overcome it. Don't let it beat you. You can get past it. And that's what Saskatchewan fans have to do. And I really feel it's important to talk about the Saskatchewan fans because I believe they can make the big difference. They can make – they're referring to themselves as the 13th man, you know, but they got to believe what they're saying. And somehow once in a while when they get into a little bit of adversity, I don't think they believe that they can win. In all honesty, I really don't. I don't mean that as a negative to Saskatchewan fans.
What I found interesting after the game is, you know how you can go to Ticketmaster and get tickets for the upcoming playoff games?
Right, after
the game on Sunday night, the Ticketmaster website for the Calgary West Final, it got shut down.
I wonder why.
Yeah, so to me, I'm expecting the crowd to be at least 60% Rider fans, if not more. Because it's funny how you bring up the fair-weatherness or sort of finickiness of Rider fans. The Stamps fans absolutely epitomize that to a T. In fact, I'll go as far as to say almost every other fan base in the CFL takes it to another level. You know, because a bad crowd for the Riders is 30,000. A bad crowd everywhere else is maybe, what, 20, 25, less than that.
Yeah,
and we
yeah,
already
yeah.
know, like, it's not like BC. Like in BC, for example, they pump in artificial crowd noise through the speakers. That's what to amplify it to make it seem louder than it really is. Because it's often funny where it'll sound loud on TV, but when they do a crowd shot, it's like 80% of the people aren't even cheering. And I remember Rob Peterson, the play-by-play guy for the Riders, before a game day they had, before the 2007 West Final, the day before the game, He pulls up to BC Place, and it's like the stadium is rocking. It's not like there's a massive crowd cheering. He walks in. It's completely empty, and they were just, you know, doing sound checks with the crowd noise through the speakers. So, and, hey, the Vikings do this all the time here in the Metrodome. They got actually fined by the NFL for doing that. So I'm just saying, you know, if we're going to talk about crowds and noise level and their support level, let's put it into perspective, right? Comparing it to the rest of CFL, so that's all I got to say.
Well, I'm saying is that some teams and some fans play differently, and the way the crowd plays differently in Riderville is that they want to win so bad they get into shock real easy. That's all, and it's not a bad thing. It's just they haven't won enough to have the confidence to believe that they can win. You know, that's the problem, is that, like I said, I go back to my analogy before. It's like the Leaf fans. They want their team to win real bad. They're great fans. But there's a reason why there's some doubt, and there's a reason why you drop a game when you're leading 4-1. You know, there's confidence that has to be there. You can't be afraid to win. And if Saskatchewan can overcome that, greatest franchise in CFL, no doubt about it. All the way through, you know, support the team itself, wins a Grey Cup, that'll be great. They'll have bragging rights, and I'll be happy for the Saskatchewan fans. They're just going to have to get past, you know, there's still two games left before they can make that claim. So we'll move over to the East a little bit, and you know what? Real quick, I want to hear my girls.
You're listening to Candid Frank Live, streaming on Rouge Radio. We're the Argos cheerleaders.
I love that. I just love that thing. Okay, so the East, The East game, I've said my piece. I think the weather was a bigger factor than the two teams. I'm not saying the wrong team won because I think the right team won. Hamilton deserved the victory. They played all four quarters. Montreal did not. How about you, Christopher?
2-0 at halftime.
I agree. That's my whole. You're just agreeing with me. Like, that was stupid, don't you think, guys? I mean, that's a hockey score at the end of the first period.
Hamilton didn't play all four quarters. They played the overtime. Okay, they didn't play all four quarters. They got lucky. That's what I'm going to say. That missed tackle at the end, whatever, and that blown. And now we're going to talk about the penalty that should have been called with that less than a minute left, and Carter got hit way before the ball even arrived to him. That call, that obvious one. Yeah, all right. If we're talking about the CFL refs wanting to favor a matchup that suits them best, then I think they were on Hamilton's side yesterday, if you want to go that route. I don't believe that kind of stuff, okay? I never believe buying and somebody bought this and somebody conspired to do that. That's just a bunch of crap. It doesn't happen that way. But that blown call at the end, that was pretty bad for the for the Montreal fans. But it is what it is. That's the way it turned out. And they didn't play full four quarters, man. No, not even close. They played the overtime game very well. They continued that drive right to the very end, and they did it without Burris, right? That's all I'm going to say.
I don't know how you can disagree with me, John. They had no points in the first half. How could Hamilton not have played a great first half?
I was being sarcastic
because Christopher said it right. I mean, 2-0 at the end of the first half. But I will say this, and I'll repeat myself for the Hamilton fans out there. Thank goodness you were playing Montreal.
Yes.
It's going to be a little bit of a rude awakening for them. Look, the only link that we're not going to have in our chain, we'll see how vital that is, will be Kakert. And speak about injuries when you don't even play. That turf thing at the Rogers Center practicing, not a good thing for the Argos. They never did it throughout the whole season, and all of a sudden now they get 2 weeks to practice in that place, and it turned out to be not a good thing for them. It's better off playing in a high school stadium turf in Toronto, Mississauga.
Well, John, that's because the turf that they play on in those high schools, one of them's brand new. I mean, it only been used a couple of times before the Argos jumped on it, and the other one's just less than a year old.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
It's still a professional turf. It's still
a professional turf. It's great turf.
Yeah, it should be treated that way, but it evidently is not. And so we're going to be without Chad, which is, we'll see if Norwood or Steele can fill the void, and I think they can. But everybody else is going to be in there. We're going to have all the defensive guys that we didn't have against Hamilton on that Guelph game, where we had five last-minute fill-ins from the practice roster or whatever. So, and we got Ricky Ray fully back. We got everybody back. I'm looking for a good game. And you know what, guys? It's going to be half crowd. Half the stadium is going to be most likely TICAF fans. But tell you what, for the Argos, that's a good thing because they're used to hearing noise when they're on defensive drives in other stadiums and they win games. So in that sense, it's not going to backfire on Toronto. You know, I think they've played better in other stadiums where noise was a factor. So I hope TICAF fans bring it. The more noise you make when our boys are on offense, it seems like the better they do. So,
maybe the Argos should dress in their whites.
Why?
Because they're an away team.
I don't know if the uniform has anything to do with it, but
I'm just saying no. But you're selling the point that I agree with you. The point that you're making, the sale you're trying to make, I agree with you. The team has been the Argos have been good on the road. They have been good on the road, but it might be a little bit skewed by the fact that they won those four in a row. But still, they play well under pressure. Will they miss Kakker? Well, we don't really know that yet. Is that a for sure, John, that he won't be playing in that game?
Yeah, he's out.
So is the leg broken?
He's out.
Is the ankle broken?
No, not broken, but no, and I haven't heard as far as him going to surgery. All they kind of said was that he's definitely out for the Eastern Final. And is that giving us hope that, you know, if they win the Eastern, when they win the Eastern Final, that he's going to be ready for the Grey Cup? I don't know. I'm not sure. But, you know, when they kind of come out right off the bat and say, it doesn't look good and we're just going to plan like we're not having him, it's because they want to give the other guys the proper reps. And they're probably going to use them. That's it. And I don't see how Kakar would be efficient then if he's, you know, running on a bum ankle. You know what I'm saying? I don't
not
know how good
style,
that is for running
style,
back.
Not running his style. Not running his style.
Not he's, running his
and
style.
And that's probably
no
why
way.
He got hurt, because he's a very, you know, he's a very slash runner, right?
Right.
Yeah, well, that's a bad break for the Argos and a good opportunity for Hamilton. But then, you know, Jarius Norwood hasn't done too bad. And you know, we'll see, right? They can. We talked last week, and you guys seem to disagree that they can't use both running backs. Mike, you were saying last week the Argos can't use both running backs? The ratio doesn't work for them?
No, Dana, that wasn't me.
Oh, okay. Well, then it wasn't you, Chris, right? Christopher?
Wasn't me. No, but I thought we were talking about the Eastern semifinal.
Yeah,
I thought we were talking about the Eastern final. And Montreal Hamilton, Frank.
Yeah, I don't know how you keep bringing Toronto into this picture.
Okay, so I'm just listening to John. John wants to make sure everybody knows that he believes the Argos are going to win.
I believe they're not, so let's carry on.
Yeah, well, you also believed that BC was going to win there, Chris. So,
They almost did, buddy.
Almost doesn't cut it. Too bad, so sad. I could have, would have, should
have.
I know, it hurts.
So Hamilton showed, you know, C.J. Gable, one of you mentioned, I think it was you, Mike, that mentioned that was a great touchdown by Gable. Or was it a touchdown?
It was.
When he rolled?
Yeah,
when he rolled.
It was the one late in the fourth quarter. But he's just, I mean, there was a stat, I believe Chris is the one that pointed that out, where if he touches the ball more than 10 times a game, I think they're 6-1. And, yeah, you can see why, man. That guy's just a pure playmaker.
Well, you know, they're all very high on the kid. Everybody loves him on the team, especially Austin.
You should be.
Yeah. But the one guy I want to point out that I think everyone's already underestimating now is Henry Burris. And if for, you know, John and Frank, you guys should be really, really worried. Because, number one, the guy's going to have a chip on his shoulder the size of Mount Everest. And all three games... Because the way, you know, it just seems like everybody disrespecting the guy and they're just dismissing him when this guy has proven himself in the past.
Hang on a second.
Yeah.
As far as I can tell, the only one who's disrespecting him is his coach.
Well, no, that's...
Bingo!
That's, no, you guys got to put in perspective what you're saying, because...
I am putting it in perspective.
His
coach doesn't have faith in him.
Frank, you're reading into it the wrong way. The two games that he had... You know, the quarterback's platooning were the two games where the weather was terrible in Guelph, and they couldn't really throw the ball and they needed to run it. Therefore, Lefevre and then the other game, Masoli, were needed. But when they come to Toronto.
I thought Jay Gable was a great running back.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it's easy when you can pose as you're running, passing, and then run with the quarterback, it can be super effective, like we saw in both games. But the thing you got to remember is.
I just got to make this one point.
Henry Burris has been absolutely fantastic in all three games against Toronto. Remember that. He played flawlessly, especially the two at the Rogers Center. The guy had his best games of the entire season. In Toronto, you guys know, your defense is already susceptible to getting beat a lot. They're the worst defense.
Wow.
Game.
Yeah.
I'll
agree with that. Mike, I totally agree with that. Burris could nip us really good in the butt if he goes deep a lot of times, okay? Because for some reason, the Argo D, when it gets beat a lot on long yardages, okay? And I see that as their biggest weakness. And Burris got the arm to reach the guys. So, yeah, there is a potential there. But, again, a lot of variables here. The season opener, I'll give that as the only game where you can really judge the two teams. And if you want to go by that, they were pretty equal right off the, you know, from beginning to end, I would say. And then at the very end, you know, Fantuz dropping that ball that could have easily gone Hamilton's way. True. Yes. but the fine-tuning has happened. Burris did not beat them every game. I'm sorry. If they use more than one quarterback, I think the other quarterbacks have something to do with it. So he can throw, Mike. We all know that, right? But he can also throw to the other team. So I'm looking forward to that happening a lot. And I know that the Hamilton line is not very good. You can see it against Montreal. The pocket was being broken continuously. It's just Burris likes to hop out of that pocket, and he does well in that situation. We'll see how it turns out. But you're right. Burris is good on long. Are they going to use all three guys? I don't know.
What the heck was that? Okay. Listen, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. When I watched the game that I saw Burris throw dangerously to his receivers and perilously putting him in the position where they might have been interceptions. Whereas Lefevre didn't waste any time throwing the ball into the sidelines, into the dirt, and he made all kinds of moves like that. And I happen to think that Lefevre is playing more the way Ken Austin wants his quarterback to play than Burris is, talent regardless.
Yeah, the only time he came in, again, is just for the two games that the weather was terrible and they couldn't throw the ball. All the rest of the games in the season,
but
the weather was fine.
He did throw the ball, Mike, and when he did throw the ball, if there wasn't a man open, he didn't throw it into harm's way, which is to John's point, which Burris does.
Burris hasn't done that against Toronto.
The point is, it isn't about what he did against Toronto, what he doesn't do against Toronto, because you have to admit this. It doesn't matter. You know, everything that's happened, including yesterday, is irrelevant come next week. It's a blank page. And if BC hasn't shown you that, then Hamilton's in for a surprise. You know, it's an opportunity for a team to undo what happened before. And it's as good an opportunity for the Argos as it is for Hamilton.
I think it's going to be a wide open.
Go ahead, Christopher.
I'm not going to touch the final. I just think Toronto is the one who's going to get a rude awakening. Besides, let's not talk about next week's game. Let's continue talking about this week's game. I'm going to keep you on pace here, okay, Frank?
Somebody has to.
Go ahead. One thing that I noticed about this game is the constant Lefevre's quarterback draws and running the ball, and when he hits, comes out of the pocket or comes out of the shotgun, hitting the line, it's almost like he's indecisive of where he wants to go, and he's got that hesitation, and by then it closes on him, and he's going nowhere. And you got C.J. Gable in the backfield. Why is Lefevre running the ball so much?
He wouldn't hand
the ball off, okay? Gable did not get anywhere near the touches that he should have during that game, and if he did, it would not have been anywhere near as close as what it was. But running your quarterback draws the way that they were doing it nonstop, when it doesn't work, it's one thing when Durant pulls 35 yards up the middle, and you go back and do it again. But when he's hitting the wall and falling over or getting shut down for lost yards, why continue with it? That was my aha moment in that game, or duh, Ralph, because I was banging my head on the table going, what are you guys doing? That's my piece.
Well, it makes sense. I understand we're having some audio difficulties. Bruce John Inch sent me a message saying it keeps rebuffing. That's his exact words that he used. Oh, maybe he means rebuffering. Rebuffering.
Yes.
So I don't know what the cause of that is.
I couldn't get the game to come online. I was going to listen to it for a while I cooked my dinner, but it wouldn't play for me at all.
Oh, boy.
That's why I phoned in and sat on hold.
That's not nice. I'm unhappy about that. Okay, well, I have no explanation other than to say, Blog Talk Radio. So basically, yesterday's game showed us that Montreal has a future. They've got their quarterback. They showed up at that game and they played Hamilton pretty tough without Jamal Richardson, Whitaker. Gosh, they were missing a lot of players, and they put up a pretty good fight. Does that mean that Montreal, you know, really considering who they had out there, do have a better future?
They're back.
When you say better than who exactly? If you're saying better than Winnipeg and, you know, Ottawa
and
Edmonton,
sure. Well, put it this way. Let me put it this way. They came out of the gate like almost dog dead, right? Hawkins led them down. I don't know what you want to call the path he led them down, but it wasn't a very good one.
We'll call it the Cleo Lemon path.
Okay, whatever. You always got to bring Cleo Lemon into it. Okay. So basically, in the past few weeks, even though they lost, you know, what is it? They lost three times to Hamilton in the last 4 weeks.
Yep.
It was their best game against Hamilton, right? It was their best game against Hamilton.
Well, it wasn't Hamilton's best game.
Couldn't Montreal have played?
Do we forget that the Guelph game went down to the last play and it was intercepted in the end? Are we forgetting that? I mean, we're talking like as if they walked all over Toronto with five fresh guys from off the practice roster that substituted for the two guys who got suspended and the other three that were injured. Are we talking about that Guelph game where Hamilton walked all over?
No. We're talking about Montreal.
Oh.
John.
Quit bringing Toronto. So I watched the basketball game here, the Raptor game. I'm getting zoning out, in and out, in and out, going into overtime again. Sorry, guys. Sorry, go ahead.
We're not talking about
Toronto.
Montreal was, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I saw a lot of good in their game. And don't kid yourself. Hamilton played really well. And, you know, their defense was pretty impeccable. You know, the quarterback didn't throw away too many balls. You know, interceptions, Troy Smith didn't throw that many of those, which bodes well for the quarterbacking part of the game. You know, that's what you want. You know, that touchdown to interception ratio has to be on the positive side as opposed to the negative side. Pop, one of the biggest problems with Montreal has been their takeaways or the combination plus minus, and you know, they lead the league in takeaways, but still they're only like a plus one. You know, so they played a pretty error. Nice. I guess that first half was pretty error filled, wasn't it?
For both teams.
Yeah, for both teams. But you know that might be the conditions. That might be the fault of the conditions, not about the teams. You know what I mean? So you know, Montreal looks pretty good. The Montreal fans don't have a dog's breakfast anymore. That they, you know, halfway through the season, they might have thought they had for next year. Now, what did you think of the defensive?
It looks promising for Montreal for next year. Okay, Troy Smith impressed us. If they get a coach that can actually coach in the CFL, they're back. They're going to be a force to be reckoned with next year. With Winnipeg out of the East, it's going to be a tight race over there.
You know, I'm glad you said that, Christopher, because that's where I was going with my commentary. I was happy with what if there's one segment of their game that was consistent all year, had to be their defense. And Coach Noble has to deserve credit. What do you think? Do you think he could be the next coach of the Montreal Alouettes?
I still think that your head coach should be an offensive coordinator.
That's why I said that.
I do not think that he's not going to be the next head coach. I do not. You'd be better with Jacques Chatelain.
What do you think, Mike?
Coming in, French-speaking guy coming into Montreal, he'd be a good pick for that town right now.
Yeah,
so Chris, are you saying that just because you want him out of BC, or do you actually think he's a good coordinator?
Yeah. I don't think he's a good coordinator at all. But I don't think a head coach has to be a coordinator to be a head coach. Yeah, I want him out of BC in the worst way. I'm trying to pawn him off on anybody.
It's good to know. It's good to know that this show can be used to get rid of coaches and, on teams that teams don't want by suggesting that he be a good fit because he speaks the language.
Yeah. Either that or Ottawa, but I don't want to put him into Ottawa. That's not fair.
But I think going forward, especially in the East, what you're going to see is what the CFL, if we remember, guys, I believe it was before last season, they had the Southern Ontario Initiative where the league pulled together some resources, and I believe they put about $1 million into Southern Ontario, and they're starting to gain the fruits of that now where you got the Ticats and Argos rising to the top. And now with Ken Austin leading the way in Hamilton and then finally having what looks to be a good, you know, structured organization, I think we're looking at Hamilton and Toronto going back and forth for the next couple of years. And it all comes down to what Hamilton does at quarterback. And if they find someone else or if Burris can live up to the expectations, I think Montreal is just going to be consistently that number three, occasionally maybe bump up to two, but I don't think they're ever going to be able to get past Toronto as long as Ricky Ray's there. And ultimately, I think Hamilton with Ken Austin leading the way, they're just this is what Mark Cohen wanted, and he's getting it. And that's they want the Argos and the Ticats to be at the top. They want the Riders at the top in the West. And this leads me to my next point, which is the refs clearly manipulated the games on Sunday. Now, I'm a Rider fan, and I'm all the way behind the Riders, but even Chris knows this. There were several times where it was blatantly obvious that the refs were trying to churn the game. You know, there was that point where BC in the third quarter was marching down the field, and it looked like they were on their way to getting another touchdown or at least another field goal, and at that point they might have been up, I think, two scores. But they had this holding call, which the flag was late. Even I mean, the flag came out like 20 seconds after the play. And then you followed that up with those
pathetic.
Yeah, then there was those two big hits, the ones you brought up about Brackenridge, and there was one by Walden Brown and one by Dwight Anderson. All three were helmet on helmet, but the refs didn't throw a flag out. And the remainder of the game, the Lions did not get a single big penalty called in their favor. The Riders had about 5 15-yard penalties given to them, and they were all like momentum-shifting penalties. And I just felt like that, and along with the Montreal-Hamilton game, that the one you talked about, the one of Daron Carter in the end zone, that was obvious pass interference. But I don't blame them. The league, they wanted Hamilton and they wanted Saskatchewan to win. That's just flat out. I don't think there's any secret. Holding is probably the most subjective penalty in all of sports, where refs can literally call holding on every single play if they wanted to. And it's the perfect sort of little cover-up play that you can throw out, and it can be a total momentum shifter. So,
Mike,
I don't know.
Mike, I would love to agree with you that on the basis that these guys are that good to be able to orchestrate something that smart. Okay, unfortunately,
you give them to do that.
You give them too much credit. You guys all give them too much credit when it comes to thinking in that way. Okay, it just isn't that complicated. The reality of it is that they're just not that good. And there's maybe one out of the five or six that are on the field that actually should be there. And unfortunately, it just goes that way. And if you got all those refs on the field and not one sees the play, I'm talking about the Eastern Final, Eastern Semi, we're still talking about that game, right? So yeah. If you're talking about that play, all the ball, it wasn't like a short pass. The ball was in the air a long time, so all their necks can turn in that direction where the ball is going. Okay, and nobody flagged it. That's sad. That is sad.
Was there even a debate?
That,
I don't even think there was even a debate. You know, sometimes the refs get
a conspiracy. It's not a conspiracy. It's not. They're just not that smart to do that, and they're not that good to be able to do that.
Look,
okay,
John.
Sorry.
John,
can I? You got to factor in. Mike.
Yeah,
hang on. I got to address this for a second, Mike. I have a client, and I'm not ever going to put any names on this, who is a CFL official. And he will dispute what you just said.
Yeah, well, of course you can't name him. And I have a friend who says all you guys who say that are bullshit, but I can't say his name because I can't tell
him. No,
come on, Chris,
I'm dead
come
serious.
Come on, don't play that game, Chris. Either you name it and we'll get him on the show and he can say it, otherwise keep it to yourself. It's not fair.
Okay.
It's still
only an opinion, so Chris is entitled to his opinion. But it is just an opinion.
It's
unless...
And it's,
No, but
don't,
you know what
I
mean.
You're insulting the CFL. I'm insulting and saying that they suck. But I'm not going to insult them and say that they're going to conspire and they're criminal. You know what I mean? They have criminal minds. That what you're saying is that's an insult. That you spoke to a guy as an official and that he will beg to differ with me on that fact. If he does beg to differ, then I feel bad for this league, because if we got guys like that in this league that think behind the doors that way, we're in trouble. I just don't think they're that good to be able to see the play when they're supposed to see it. And a couple of them take their eyes off it. That's all. They just don't get that fine tuning like they do with the NFL guys who go through the college ranks and, you know,
We saw what happened when you get rid of full-time referees, even in the NFL.
Yes. Yeah.
But John, you have to. You guys have to remember, and you keep missing the point, that this is business. This is not college. This is professional sports where millions of dollars are on the line. Now, all of us understand that Hamilton
Mike, financially,
look at the difference they're going to make.
But Mike,
you guys can't be that naive.
I get what you're
seriously saying.
No. Nobody's listen. No. You know what? Here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say it this way for you, okay, Mike? I mean, it's nice to yell fire in a theater because you think you might see one, but until you see smoke and until I see flames, I'd prefer nobody says it. You know what I mean? Like, look, it's your opinion that the officials and all this kind of stuff. I just want to make that clear, all right? Like John, I don't want to believe that the fix is in, because if the fix is in, then it shame on the CFL and too bad for us for buying tickets. I'm not going to go to it.
If I think that way, Frank, if I have that mentality,
I can't go to another game. But, John, you can understand.
If you guys think that way,
understand.
Why bother going to watch BC or anybody else? Well, stay home then. Yeah.
But we can understand
why.
They're
just not that good.
We can understand, but John, we can understand why people sometimes, because of the ineffective calls, may think that it's intentional, where what you're trying to promote here tonight and what you're trying to say is, it's just because they're incompetent, not because they're doing something on purpose.
It's really like you guys are overlooking too many facts. Like, when it comes to a criminal case in court, right, no one ever has direct evidence and then case closed. That never happens. It's all about circumstantial evidence, and you build enough circumstantial evidence to draw a conclusion.
Yeah, you might be able. Mike, you can't win every case.
These are Canadians you're talking about. These are Canadian arrests you're talking about, right? Again, you guys are just giving them too much credit. First of all, they're Canadian. They get judged every single time they referee a game, so they get scrutinized by the league itself, and then they replace them or tell them that you're not going to be able to play a playoff game or a Grey Cup game next year because you didn't do too well, you missed too many calls. So they do get judged. They all get their report cards, okay? It's just that we don't have good enough of them. That's all. They're just refs. But they're not conspiring, man. They're not doing this for the league.
Can I give you an example, John, about what I'm saying? In the NBA, Tim Donaghy, right, was on record saying that
he was gambling.
NBA.
Hold on.
NBA.
I know
he
that. I'm just
Canadian,
I'm,
man.
I get
this
that.
Is Canadian.
I'm talking
we don't
about
do that
example.
Shit.
Listen. What happened when he said his league executives approached the referees of the 2002 Western Conference Finals between Sacramento and L.A. That was a very popular series, and the Lakers were the NBA's biggest team. What they were told is try to keep this series extended to 7, and in as much as you can do, make sure the Lakers win it at the end. There was pressure from NBC and from the NBA executive. This is on record already, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you think that TSN doesn't constantly pressure the CFL offices in this way, you're lying to yourself. They just made a gigantic financial investment, and to make sure they get back on their money, they want to make sure they have the most popular teams, and especially in the key market they're targeting, which is Southern Ontario. 2 years ago, they invested over $1 million in there.
TSN, yeah. Big investment. It's a drop in a bucket compared to what investment they have in the NHL, okay? It's like it's not even like on the radar. It's just a big investment to CFL standards, man. So they're not going to risk $10 million or $50 million. You know, we're just giving these guys too much credit to think that they will conspire to make it go that way. In the NBA, there's a lot of betting money. There's a lot of betting money involved. There's a lot of network money involved. There isn't a lot of betting money involved in CFL. There's not a lot of network money involved in the CFL. So to put for these guys to go push these guys.
Calm down. First off, look, $30 million is not small money. I don't know where you what you're talking about. $30 million is a lot. That's what they're getting per year.
Well, compared to, like, $280 with the NHL or whatever the numbers
are.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
$30
million is still $30 million. You may consider that a drop in the bucket. I bet you if you go to TSN CEO, he won't tell you that's a drop in the bucket. That's a lot of change, considering that.
But guys, can we stop? Listen, let's
hear
it here.
Hold on, let me say this something, because John's making it seem like it's conspiracy.
Okay, John, let him make his point. You and I understand where we stand on this. I don't know where Mike seems to stand sort of somewhere between where we stand with Christopher seems to stand somewhere between you and I and Mike, I think. Is that right, Christopher?
No, I'm agreeing 100% with Mike.
Okay, there you go. So state your case here. But here's what – go ahead and state your case, but let's not argue about it. State your point, and let's walk away and move on to the next subject.
Okay.
So,
I just want to address one thing, because John keeps saying, oh, they're not smart enough or they're not capable of doing this big conspiracy. It's not a big conspiracy. All the refs have to be told is during the game, just when you sense that the momentum in a particular game is in the direction of a team that they don't want to win – just throw a flag at a certain point. When you look at the BC Saskatchewan game, for you, because you're laughing at it. Because, I'm serious. Because apparently either you weren't watching the game as closely as, say, me and Chris were, but you could tell, and I told Chris, you could see the momentum was strongly in BC's favor. And then the refs threw that holding call, stifled the drive, and it just from that point on, you could tell the game
point,
shifted.
But I'm just let me
you
explain
just,
to you guys.
You just don't want
it
because
let
you
me,
don't.
Please, give me 30 seconds to explain my point here, why I feel this way, and why you guys might not be able to stand why I'm so strong about it. I've been following this league for over three decades. I've been involved and have been friends with CFL people on and off the field. I would hear and feel it in some way. A trickle effect, and you think me, who's pretty passionate, open, loudmouth about my opinion when I feel strong about it, you don't think I would jump on that? So for that reason, I have to shut you down on that thought, because unless you walk in my shoes and befriended all the people that I've been able to have been blessed to talk to and have been my friends in the CFL offices or in the Toronto Argonauts offices or on the field, off the field with the players, I got many examples I can show you. These people like Frank and Argo Lifers who joined me this year are just feeling that trickle effect of what kind of a reach I've been able to have with these players and how we meet them and associate with them. And when you start to do that for three decades, guys, I can't feel that way with you guys. I just can't. I can't insult them to that degree. I will insult them if they can't do the job properly, but I just can't go to your degree, bud.
Okay.
That was a minute.
So, John, I absolutely agree with that. I respect that. But what we have to put in perspective is you have to throw off the last 30 years, because the CFL now is heading in a direction and is stepping into a level it's never been before.
Well, you know
it's
what?
No
you
longer,
know what Mike,
it's no longer
Mike,
this
here,
Bush
I tell
league
you
that
what, Mike,
been.
I understand. I understand what you're saying, Mike. Let's move on because this is not about the game. This is politics. And it saddens me to think about it. And it probably turns other, you know, every time something like a discussion like this happens, there's going to be the side that agrees because they like the way it turned out or disagrees because they don't like the way it turned out. But regardless, let's stick to what the game's about. And that's these teams are awesome. We have two more listeners. I know I called Robbie because he asked me to call him. 248, who are we talking to?
Hey, what's up, Frank? This is me, Mike Townsend.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Detroit, Mike.
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
You
watch the games?
You want to review the two games, starting with the West? What'd you think of the West game?
Well, the West game, I really enjoyed the West game. And I voted for Saskatchewan. But what actually turned the tide for the BC Lions, I believe they got a little bit too cocky in the first half. And they couldn't stop Dan Durant in the second half because he killed them with his legs. He killed them.
He sure did. What was your favorite play in the West?
Let me see. What was my favorite play? Shoot. Let me think. My favorite play was when Dan Durant dropped back, like he was about to pass, and then he went for, I think it was a 45-50-yard scramble.
35.
Okay, 35, that's what it was, okay. Drop back like he's about to pass it, then right up the middle, gone.
Yeah, he still has young legs.
Mm-hmm, yep.
What about the East?
The East, you know, what I was going to say, when Derry and Durant started scrambling, that's what turned the tide. I mean, BC didn't have no answers for them, and then plus they couldn't convert on first and second downs. And when you can't convert on first and second downs, and then you got a team that's on the move and they're really moving the ball well, and then you got a quarterback that's scrambling the way he was, and you couldn't have no answers for him, I mean, it made it a long night for BC.
You know, Mike, this year more than any other year, I don't know how long you've been following the CFL, but the mobile quarterbacks have had a lot of success. In fact, the primary backup that was very successful when he was successful was Kolaros when he was running and avoiding tackles. Durant did that. He did that great yesterday. He really did.
Yeah, he did. And that's one thing when you bring up Kolaros. That's one thing that really made me change my tune about him. When his arm game wasn't really up to par, he started running. That was it. That changed the momentum in a lot of games that Toronto did win when he was starting that quarterback.
Well, I didn't mean it to be about Toronto. What I meant it to be is that running quarterback this year, we've got – it's going to be an interesting final three games of the season. We've got quarterbacks being taken in and out of the games. We saw that with Hamilton. We've seen substitutes come in, backups come in. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be an amazing balance of the season. But so far, Durant went beginning to end. Were you surprised that they didn't bring in a you know, how come he can do all of it, short yardage, everything?
Well, you know, Durant was determined. He was determined because, you know, like I used to say in the past, last couple of years, I used to say Durant wasn't the answer for Saskatchewan. And I'm pretty sure he has heard it from a lot of other people that
absolutely.
They say he's not the answer. And I think he wants to prove everybody wrong, because if they would have lost against BC, I think his lease in Saskatchewan would have been very short.
And you know, he wants to win a cup to shut all those people down, right?
Mm-hmm, sure do.
Hey, Robbie, are you there?
Yo, I'm here, bro.
Okay, what'd you think
What's
of the Eastern
on?
Final? Well, we're going to ask you what you thought of the Eastern Final.
Ticats, eat them raw.
Ticats, eat them raw, man.
Is that what happened?
Now. Oh, yeah. Ticats are going to eat Toronto up and spit them out like garbage.
Well, no, we're talking about the other game, not that one.
Oh, the semifinal.
We're talking about Montreal.
Okay. Yeah, that was actually a close game. You know, I taped the game and everything so I can, you know, review the play. See, the funny thing about it is I can sit here and I can watch the plays and I can be like, okay, well, you know, Henry Burris was supposed to throw here. But I noticed that Hamilton was always going two and out.
In the first half.
In the first half, they were going two and out. And I'm like, what the hell is it? You know, I'm thinking in my mind, I'm like, what's Ken Austin doing putting friggin' Burris back in when he knows that Leaflower or whatever is a running quarterback? You know?
And if you watched him in his collegiate days, he's not a running quarterback. He's a passing quarterback.
No, but
he's
if you notice...
He's just acclimated to the CFL.
Yeah, but, dude, if you notice, every time he gets the ball, he runs it like 2, 3, 5 yards.
Because
every
time they scouted him as a passing quarterback. When you get scouted as a passing quarterback, you're going to change your game.
Yeah, well, he didn't change the game at all because he was running the whole time.
When he was running, he made yards.
Yeah, and that's what basically Hamilton needed, you know? And then it was really weird because I was watching the Saskatchewan game, and there was, what, 2 minutes, but almost about a minute and some left in the game, and BC got called for some kind of penalty. It was 15 yards, and Saskatchewan was in field goal range. It's
I think that was that late hit with Adam Bickfield. I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
Roughing the pass.
Yeah,
but
It wasn't a late hit.
Or the hit.
It was a late hit, early hit,
or whatever. It was a hit. And he got called for it.
I wouldn't call what Big Hill did a hit.
Oh,
I
Frank,
call
you're Frank, you're not going that Argos again, are you?
No.
Because, you know what? That shit's gone, man. Hamilton's coming to Toronto next Sunday.
What are you talking
and they're
about? We're
like...
talking about Big Hill. We're talking about B.C. We're talking about... We're talking about B.C. and Saskatchewan. Now, you're bringing Toronto in through left field. No, what
no,
I wanted
because,
to say...
Because
but,
I heard you go... Because I heard you go, thought you were, like, talking that Argos chant there.
No. What I was trying to say is that Big Hill went to tackle Durant, and at the last second, Durant decided to hook slide. And in my opinion, Durant hook slid right into Big Hill, in my opinion.
Yeah.
That's what it looked like to me. That's what it looked like to me. Durant hook slid right into Big Hill. What's Big Hill supposed to do? Jump out of the way?
Nope.
Well, that's pretty much what it seemed to. That's the only way to avoid that penalty.
And that was a questionable penalty anyway. I mean,
right?
It could have either went both ways, but it favored Saskatchewan.
Well,
it favored Saskatchewan.
It sure did.
Favored Saskatchewan.
There you go. We all agree. I'm glad to hear that. The only one who didn't agree was John. But John's busy watching a basketball game. So
come on, John. Get off that basketball game.
Hey, man, I don't know about you guys, but I think I can do two things at one time. So sorry, Frank, if you can. I'm watching a great double overtime game here. And I'm listening to the show. I'm all in.
I know you are. It's all good. It's
let
all
the guys
good.
Talk. I want to hear their opinion.
Here we go.
Now, one thing I will say about Burris' game yesterday, it wasn't great. It wasn't good. It wasn't great at all. It was
shit.
Far. Yeah, I didn't want to say that word, but thank you.
Come on, Michael.
It wasn't great. And, you know, with them going to overtime, I think they just put it out by the skin of their teeth, really.
They
but
did.
Trey Smith, his second half wasn't all that great either. I mean,
nope.
A lot of the plays were sloppy, if you ask me.
Yeah,
it was sloppy.
But
don't you think
the weather had something to do with that, Mike?
Oh yeah. I mean, you got the wind blowing and everything. The weather was nasty.
And water.
No, he's right though. Troy didn't show up in the second half. Troy just didn't have something was going on with him, but he looked really good in the first half. But yeah, he's totally right, Mike.
They scored 2 points in the first half. How did he show up?
he kept the ball away by keeping them on the field, so Ticats can't even get within field goal distance. Chris, if you watch the game, that's how we kept them in the game. If he makes sure that the drives are not going two and out, then I think he's keeping the offense on the field and keeping the Ticats from scoring. That's why the Ticats couldn't even get within field goal range to get a single, man. I don't know what you're talking about.
If I'm not mistaken, the start of the third quarter was
Well, my world is the Great Cup Championship world. My world is the Eastern Final.
Okay,
my world
I
want to
hear Mike talk.
Let Mike talk.
Mike, go finish your thought, buddy.
Score losers.
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, the score at halftime was, 2-0?
That's right.
Yeah,
that's what it was, 2-0. Okay. Now, when Burris came out, I'm trying to think who was that receiver. I can't think of the name to save my life. But I thought Burris was getting it together when he threw that. I think it was maybe like a 15-yard pass. He got caught right in the middle of the field.
Dave Stala? Stala?
Not Stala.
Oh, the one to Andy Fantuz.
Oh, Fantuz.
No, it was the other
Ellingsworth?
Receiver.
Ellingsworth.
Oh, Ellington.
I thought he was about to get his passing game going, but it never came about. I mean, the whole game was sloppy. The weather was bad. I mean, but if Hamilton play like that next week, it's done. It's one and done. It's over
it's,
with.
You know, it's correct.
It's over.
Well,
with.
Correct.
So, Mike, what do you think is going to happen when Hamilton goes to Toronto next week?
Oh, man. Toronto had a bye week, so they well rested. And I think Richard Reagan will come out there like an old Western gunslinger, man, and get to throwing that ball all over. And if he can connect with Jason Barnes 4 or 5 times, that's it, man. That's it.
Careful,
Mike. You're going to be living in my world in a minute.
Well,
careful. Don't live in my world, bro.
Let's start with John. Listen, we're down to the last half hour. And that begs the question, since I got all six of you guys here, just not to talk so much about the games that are coming up, but what do you think the over-under is going to be with Ray and Burris at the controls next week? Start with you, Mike. What's the over-under?
Which Mike?
I figure about 100, about 100 points. I figure they're both going to score 100 points altogether.
Yeah, yeah.
Each?
That's what I...
No, together.
Each
together.
Wish.
You're combined about 100.
The arena football score.
Basketball game.
I say about 100.
What about you, John? What about you? What do you think the over-under is going to be? The over.
Let the other boys have their pick. I'll wait to be last.
Okay, Chris, go ahead. Christopher?
It's nowhere near 100. It's going to be 60.
Okay. And Manasseh?
You just say
I'm going to say about 70.
Robbie?
Yeah. You know what? I think I'm going to down all these guys. I'm going to say about 7, 14, 21, 20, about 45.
Okay, do me a favor, Robbie.
Wow.
Robbie, do me a favor. Go get a pen and a piece of paper and write down everybody's name and what they said.
hold on a sec. Hold on. Let me get that pen.
Well, if we're gonna I'll even give you a score that you can play with here. Okay,
oh,
I'm
God,
saying 34-24. Okay, 58 points is
hey,
my
that
total.
Means we have
34.
We have each 10, we have 50, 60, 70. Nobody said 80,
40.
Right?
No, I said 40.
We said 40. We've said 40, 50, 60, 58. 70. Nobody said 80.
Okay.
I'll
you know
say
what?
80.
He's got Robbie at, we got Robbie at
you
40.
Know what? Now that I'm thinking got, about it, you know what? I think I'm a changed man. I'm thinking about 85.
85.
I'm thinking it's going to be a high-scoring game, man.
I think so, too. I think it's going to be out. They're going to shoot the lights out.
Right.
And you know what?
It's on the inside, too. No weather factor.
It, there you go.
Yeah.
Now you see. Now
That's
you're starting
it.
To see, see, Mike, now you're feeling me. It's
going to be a good game if it's high-scoring like that. I just don't see it.
Well, we all may or may not remember in 2010, wasn't it, that Hamilton and Montreal the last time they met, they played in overtime. It was like something like 100 points between the two of them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The final score was like 52-45.
Yep.
Yeah. So you know, I don't see Burris not doing his part, but you know why it won't happen? Because the coach won't let him do it.
Mm-hmm. Oh!
I'm hoping that's just a joke and not an actual statement.
No,
no, I
think they're not going to let him
fling
that ball all over the,
I mean,
all over
look,
the field.
I'd be careful about everybody making fun of Burris right now, because I'm telling you, he's going to
come out of
game of
life.
Come on,
you know
what?
I'm making fun of Burris. I don't think I'm making fun of Burris. I'm just making a simple point that if Burris tries getting into a gunslinger mode, he's going to be sitting on the sidelines. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah.
all I'm saying. I'm not saying that he
Frank's
deserves
point
to be.
Is, Frank's point is, this is Burris' last game. He's not getting re-signed next year by the Ticats. The writing is on the wall. They're already rotating because they don't have complete faith for them, whether or no weather. I don't give a shit. They're still going to put rotating because they just don't have the faith in him on the short plays. That's it. Bottom line, last game for Burris. Adios, amigos. That's it for
so
him.
John. Unless he wins the Grey Cup, right? I'm telling you right now, I like the Argos. The Argos are my second favorite team, but honest to God, I think Hamilton's going to win the game just because they've showed it all year. They match up well. It's indoors, which means their offense should be able to run at a high level. And their defense, honestly, Hamilton's defense is better than Toronto's. I know it's crazy to say, but it's an actual fact. So,
well, we haven't seen.
You know.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead. I'm done.
Wednesday. That's Wednesday.
Yeah. So
Wednesday show.
So Hamilton is rounding into form then, Mike or Manasseh. That's what you're saying, right?
I mean, at the right, if they look just like the Argos from last season. If you look back, the last 14 games, Hamilton's 10-4. You know, they started slow, they finished fast, and if we remember, that's what Toronto did last year. Toronto started slow, they got it together in the second half, they got hot in the playoffs, and they made a run. to me, it looks like Hamilton's replaying that same script. And if I'm Toronto in many ways is kind of like the Montreal team from last year, where they had their ups and downs and they still managed to get the number one seed, had a couple injuries to some key players. And frankly, they just had a suspect defense just like Montreal did last year. And to me, it's playing out the same way. So I'm thinking Hamilton.
But you know what?
I
got to be honest with you, Mike. I got to be honest with you. Or Manasseh, because I got to call you Manasseh now because Mike's in the room.
Manasseh and Mike.
Ooh. There you go. Anyway,
thanks for that,
Robbie.
Appreciate it.
That's actually.
What's that, bro? What's that?
Okay. As far as these two teams are concerned, Montreal and Hamilton, they're both a lot better than they were at the beginning of the year, which is the point I was trying to make about Montreal. With Ottawa coming in, I know that's not Wednesday's show. That's like next Friday, 2 weeks from now. But the thing is I'm really happy for the fans that are in Montreal, the fans that are in Hamilton. I think other than the sports writers that wrote that the game was a ripoff because of bad officiating, so it's outside of this. It's not only on this show that people talk about bad officiating. People are disappointed in the officiating in the CFL, but we're always disappointed in how a game ends, and the first person to blame is the official. That's the easiest.
It's always the worst.
It's the easiest call to make. But I have to say that the CFL Eastern Division next year is going to be really interesting, and I don't have as much faith in the Argos as John has, not because they don't deserve it, but because they've lost a bit of their shine, you know. And I think Hamilton, and I believe you're right, that Hamilton's the team to beat in the East, and that's what Toronto's going to have to do. And Montreal did their best to try to beat them, but, you know, they had to score more than 2 points in the first half to do it. And this game isn't much to, like, what kind of film can you use from this game, guys? You know what I mean? Like, what kind of research can be done on that game? You might as well not even played it. That's how beneficial it is.
What about the fact that Toronto's going to have to practice with crowd noise all week? How about that? And Calgary, for that matter. That I find the most hilarious about the situation, is that both the road teams will have more and louder fan support at the game.
But Mike, what benefit was there to have film on this game that Montreal played Hamilton? I mean, what could you have gleaned from that? From tape of that game, I'm suggesting nothing. It was like a waste of time.
Frank.
Go help me out, Frank. Help me out.
Look at the score. It was a very sloppy game
laughter.
On both sides. You can't really take anything from it.
How about okay?
Never seen a ball drop like that at the goal line. I have never seen a ball drop like that at the goal line. That is worth watching over and over and over again. Chris is talking about the field goal.
Yeah, it made it look like God was rooting for Hamilton in that game. It was amazing.
Oh,
right.
Oh, you sure it wasn't the CFL gods that were conspiring with the
That was the remote control football that the CFL snuck in while nobody was looking.
Right.
That was the backhand of God came down and sent that ball to the turf. And actually, that was a wonderful call afterwards. You remember that, Menes? Never mind. Mike?
Menasseh.
Just say Menendez. How about Menendez?
Menendez.
I remember the call. You know what happened? That's when Montreal got 3 points, and then the point got taken away from them because they said that Montreal pushed the ball into the end zone, and then Hamilton recovered the fumble, and so there was no point ball at the 25.
Yeah,
what
exactly.
That call was almost
as bad as you remember that fumble that Stephon Logan had into the end zone, and Jackson recovered it.
Yeah. Talk about a call that changed momentum. That was a touchdown.
Recovery.
Damn it.
It wasn't a touchdown because he didn't cross the ball came out before he crossed the goal line. It did come out,
right, and then we.
But Jackson recovered
it. You could kick the ball into the end zone and pick it up.
And Jackson recovered it. That was a touchdown. That was a touchdown when Jackson recovered it.
Yeah, but that guys, that doesn't mean nothing because they ended up running it in for a touchdown anyway. So
Yeah, they really did. So
it's
they
still
you know,
not officiating. It's
not officiating.
Well,
not really.
The question on the play was it an instant recovery? I don't know how much more instant it had to be.
Right.
Yeah. I just felt like they put the ball back on the one, and you know we say it now like it's okay because they score, but had the Riders had a goal line stand, I'm sure BC would have been talking about that penalty all off season because that that could have changed the whole game right there.
Yep.
Now
that just proves the point about bad officiating, and there's no way, John, you can say that that's incompetence because that went up to Jake Ireland at head office. They turned around and made a conscious decision to take that field goal away from BC.
Okay.
Now,
you can't argue that
about
one.
The The West Final between Saskatchewan and Calgary. That's going to be a bomb burner.
Oh yeah.
Because that's gonna be a game for the ages. There's gonna be some hard hitting going on.
It's gonna be such a hot game, it's gonna raise the temperature to 10 below.
yeah, and I tell you what. Do anybody know who's gonna be the starting quarterback for Calgary?
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
There you go. Hey, flip a coin. Is there a 3-sided coin?
Right.
It's gonna be Glenn.
Yeah, I'm thinking they should go ahead and start off with Glenn. If Glenn struggles, then you bring Tate in. But if
like,
he don't struggle,
it's like the quarterbacks are like it's like a bullpen. It's like whoever's got the hot hand, they just call them in.
And luckily,
Glenn went call Tate.
And luckily with Calgary has a three-headed monster at quarterback. I mean, you can go from your third string all to your second and first string, and still get the job done. That's the joy of having three good quarterbacks. Oh, man.
It really is. And the defenses this year have been challenged by new quarterbacks. And now, I mean, Austin's taken it to a whole different plane, you know, by rotating all his quarterbacks into the game. It really has been a weird year, but with quarterbacks, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. And you know what? I think they should have been giving Jeremiah Mazzoli a little bit more playing time to see what he can do at least.
He had a couple of reps back there a few games ago, right? And he did all right.
Yeah, he did all right. But just imagine, I mean, you don't want your starter and your second string going down, but just imagine if something happened and they both get hurt and you got to put Mazzoli in. A few reps is okay, but sometimes it don't get it done, especially in the big games.
Who had the flea flicker yesterday? Somebody tried running a flea flicker.
I think it was Montreal.
Was it Montreal? Yeah. Yep.
It was Montreal. Yeah, you're right.
It almost worked. Yep. Almost. What I'm waiting for in the game next week, you know, with it being on the inside, I just can't wait to see C.J. Gable, man, just run all over the place. I didn't get a chance to see it the other day because of the bad weather. He didn't get a chance to get off like he wanted to, you know, but indoor is dry. C.J. Gable's going to have a big game.
If Gable has a big game, the Argos lose. We're back to the Argonauts again.
Just for next weekend, Sunday, November 17th in Calgary, we're talking about -16 and snow.
Yes. Saskatchewan. That's the exact same weather conditions that they had in the 2010 West Final. If you guys remember that far back, and it totally was in favor of the Riders all the way. So I'm excited, man. And if I could add, the ratings came out, and I if you guys know that Sunday night they had the Cowboys on against the Saints, and the Cowboys are one of the highest rated teams for Canada, but that had about a 400,000 rating, and both playoff games averaged about 1.5 million viewers. So it was a great day for the CFL all around.
Yeah, I mean, man, I'm telling you, I live in Detroit, Michigan, and they're Rider fans all over Detroit.
They're all over the place, man. We're like roaches.
All over
you find us under every single rock you go. It's amazing.
It's a virus.
Just,
You know how they get around? How Rider fans get around? They're in everybody's loaf of bread.
I thought you said we get around in all the watermelons. But no.
Easy.
and the thing it is about the CFL.
Oh, I get it. Why does a Saskatchewan fan like driving a Cadillac?
I don't know that one.
Yeah, that I've never heard that one either.
It's the only car big enough to have a watermelon in the glove compartment.
Oh man! Did you guys know that in Calgary, every time the riders show up, that the price of watermelon goes up? That actually happens. I'm not even kidding. They really do that. But
good.
I was gonna ask Mike. Mike, do you get NBC Sports Network? Okay, so for all the American listeners, next week both the playoff games will be on NBC Sports Network. So just to put that out there for anyone
and ESPN3.
Not ESPN3 because NBC Sports Network is on basic cable TV. So whenever they have it on their network, I believe they take it off of ESPN3. But anyone who has basic cable or basic satellite package in the States gets NBC Sports Network. So both games will be on live.
Have you heard any ratings back from those games being on NBC? Are they getting good numbers? Do you know, Mike?
Oh, they're getting great numbers. And Mark Cohen came out in an interview recently, so the numbers have been so good that this offseason both ESPN and NBC are negotiating a much more lucrative TV contract this offseason for next year.
And they're playing so much in the States now. You know, I'm telling you, and don't be surprised in a couple of years that the CFL come back to the northern states of the USA.
Oh, no, don't.
Yeah,
no, Mike,
it will.
There's a lot of interest down here in the CFL.
You guys are shocked how many people are really, like, across the board, especially on the bordering states of Canada.
But hang on a second. But that's because there's no American teams.
We don't have enough time tonight to talk about this.
Well, we don't have enough time, but I would say this. Check this out. If the CFL would have waited to expand now instead of when they did before, when a lot of Americans that's not around the northern part of Canada didn't know nothing about the CFL would be in America right now.
Yeah, but somehow a league called the Canadian Football League just, I don't know. It just doesn't sound right when the Las Vegas Bandits are on the,
Las Vegas Posse.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to tell you, any team that Las Vegas has doesn't do well. I mean, you had the Las Vegas Locos of the USFL could barely get, 3,000 people in the stands. Football is not good in Vegas.
Yeah, the
Martin Cohen was asked last year by some news reporter from Buffalo, would they ever think about expanding into the United States? And he said, we've made that mistake once. We need to fill our Canadian cities with this brand before we ever even think about touching south of the border. And that's probably a lot to do with the NFL relationship that they have, with the money that they get from the NFL for not interfering with their players and all that stuff. So, unfortunately, guys, I know you guys are great CFL fans down south, but it's that ship has sailed, and it's not coming back for a long time. And that's just straight from, the commissioner himself. It's the same scenario with the NFL. They're not coming to Toronto until they get a team in L.A. and Mexico.
London, Mexico.
You guys can actually Google online. There's a former NFL player by the name of Orlando Gadsden who was actually working with the commissioner to try to get a team in Windsor, and they were also considering trying to bring a team to the old Silver Dome in Pontiac, Michigan. But
thank you.
He's also looking at Western New York as well. So there's actually a lot of people behind the scenes trying to get a team in one of those states that are particularly close to Southern Ontario. So there's actually a buzz out there for that.
And the guy that actually owns the Silver Dome is a Canadian guy from Windsor.
That's right. He paid $200 for it, didn't he, or something? He paid two or three hundred bucks for it.
He paid $500,000 for the Pontiac Silver Dome.
And right now they're currently
the property around it.
And they started renovating it too right now. So now once the renovation project's done, they're going to be looking for a primary tenant, and that's why there's such a push to try to see if they can get a CFL team to come down. Because,
you
know there's
what,
a lot
Mike,
of Canadians
Mike,
in the area.
I lived through the American experience in the CFL. I'll tell you, when you compare how much hype was created by the American teams coming in and the damage that was done them leaving, the damage was far more than the hype that they gained. It almost destroyed the CFL when the Americans left.
Yeah, but yep. the big mistake they did with that is if you looked at all the teams, the majority of them were in the South, which were so far from the Canadian border, it wasn't even funny. The point now is if they were to ever do that, it would have to be states, number one, that border
South
Canada,
Dakota,
number two.
South Dakota,
no, it has to
North
be somewhere
Dakota.
Like somewhere in eastern Michigan, western New York, maybe somewhere near like the Northwest.
Illinois.
Yeah, somewhere
in Illinois. The largest CFL fan base in the states, according to the NBC rating stuff that I saw 6 months ago from last year, but not from this year,
California?
Was still Baltimore. It was still Baltimore. They still have a fan base there that comes to the CFL Grey Cup each year. I met a couple of them that came up to Toronto last year. They watch the game religiously down there in Baltimore. It's probably the largest dedicated fan base still down there. They're still devastated that they lost the Stallions to Montreal. So if anybody was going to go ever there, you could still probably put a team in there and fill probably 25,000, even though they got an NFL team. That's how much they're still wanted back in Baltimore, as far as paying attention, as far as actually going to the game. I don't know, guys. I know you guys love the CFL, and that's great to hear down south, but it's just not going to happen that way. Too many mistakes and too much ridicule from the Canadians, you know, as far as making that mistake. And I know it sounds funny. Why would we ridicule expansion? But it kind of made it – the last time they did this, it was a mockery. And they screwed things up, and they almost folded the league because of it. And, you know, their excuse
was
that they did it because we didn't want the league to fold.
You put too many teams out at one time. When you're going to put a CFL
True.
Team out,
right.
you have to put
right.
your CFL teams around the northern parts. At that time, when they expanded, I wrote the CFL a letter, and I told them, if you put a team in Memphis, if you put a team down in Birmingham, if you put a team down in even in Vegas, I said it will never work. Because they know nothing about the CFL.
See, that's the problem.
Yep, I said Detroit. When I wrote them out, I said Detroit, Ohio, New York. I said maybe Milwaukee, Wisconsin, because they don't have anything in Milwaukee except the Bucks, and they still don't have nothing with the
okay.
Bucks.
Okay. May I?
Yeah, go ahead, Christopher.
The CFL will not be going back to the United States for the simple reason the U.S. immigration policy will not let Canadians work in the United States when there are Americans that are capable of the job. That means the Canadian content rule will not work in America,
and
that means that our game is now destroyed.
It didn't the first time. It didn't the first time.
It won't happen.
That's why it won't happen. It got to be a full American squad against a mixed Canadian and American squad, which meant that the American squad had an unfair advantage. That's why we'll never go back. That's why it'll never happen again.
It won't happen.
I'd love
to see it. Don't get me wrong. I'd love it. I think those cities that you named deserve a CFL team. Their fan base is there. I truly believe that it should happen. I'd love to see a team in Alaska. Okay.
Yeah,
it's
me too. I think Anchorage, Alaska would be a perfect spot because it's a big city. They're close. They're isolated from the States. And, you know, and imagine BC actually still doesn't have a legitimate rival that they could call their own, right?
Mm-hmm.
They kind of borrow the riders,
no.
you know, because if you look at the league, like let's say eventually there's a team in the Maritimes and eventually there's a team in Quebec City that would give you six teams in the East. The West would still have only five, so they would need one more team. And Anchorage could be that perfect team. It'd be one American team. It'd give the West six. You'd have six in the East. And BC would have their own legitimate rival. And I think it could work if they did Anchorage.
It could work. And
there's no city in Western Canada that can take an expansion right now. There is not one Western city in Canada that can expand to. Not one.
Now, with the Alaska project,
Alaska
with the Alaska project, Alaska say they have money put away just in case somebody want to bring a CFL team or NFL team there. They have money to build a stadium, brand new stadium.
Yeah, there's a ton of oil money up there.
You know, and on the issue, Christopher, I agree with you 100% about why it won't expand into the U.S. But I don't know why somebody doesn't discuss with them the fact that two-thirds of the players in the whole league are American. You know what I mean?
The immigration department couldn't care less. Although I will say this right now, that I believe that Alaska could get an exemption from that rule and have Canadians play in that town. I believe that that's possible.
I believe so too.
And that would be, but it would just, somebody would have to logically say, hey, look, there's 10 teams in
the
league.
I don't believe what I'm listening to here. Alaska?
What?
You guys are smoking friggin' funny pot this late at night, man. Come on.
And John,
Alaska.
John,
have you ever seen an outdoor
game?
Go research Anchorage before you just go out and lambast people or where they're from.
I know my geography. I know Anchorage. I understand it.
It's a beautiful
city.
Does
the CFL even think that? Are we talking about hypothetical or a pipe dream here? Because it sounds like a pipe dream.
Yeah, we're just talking
hypothetical.
You know, it's not like...
Hey,
oh,
wait a
okay.
minute, wait
I
a minute. Wait, yeah, just hypothetical. No, but John, I think I got a way they could work it out, guys. I think I got a way
what?
They could work it out. Seriously. You know how Indians have gambling casinos and it's their own territory?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Do Eskimos have that same right?
Yes, they do.
Okay,
right?
John,
Frank,
that's borderline. You know, you might not want to go there. That's a little too much.
No. I'm serious. That they could just like a casino, they could put up a stadium, offer the game to be viewed, and it wouldn't have to be under the American law. And they could have the same rules that the Canadian teams have.
And then they're going to sue Edmonton and take back the Eskimo name, right? That's the next step to that whole plan.
Aboriginal people.
John, I would like to deal with this for a second. When a Canadian goes across the border, he is not going into a reservation. He is going across the border into United States territory. The U.S. Customs people will not allow them to cross the border if they're going to work in the United States without a green card.
But if they're not working in the United
States, that lives in Windsor, and they got work permits to come work in Detroit, and they school teachers.
Yeah, I mean,
don't most American
players have work permits just to come play in Canada? So I mean, it goes both ways, right?
It's a work permit. That's all it is.
That's not that hard to get. That's pretty easy to get if you have a legitimate employer and they can prove that it's real. You can get it in like a month. It's not that hard.
Especially when it comes to professional teams, you can get a work permit. That's like look at a lot of the American basketball players that play for the Toronto Raptors. They get work permits.
But Mike, the difference is we want them to be here. You know, like
mm-hmm.
we as a community want them here. Whereas the subject that Manasseh's bringing, not Manasseh, was it Manasseh? Who was bringing
up that
they can't play? No, that was okay, Mike.
Oh, that's Chris. Chris.
I agree with Christopher because we're not talking about logic here. We're talking about politics. We're talking about government, and sometimes that's trying to fit a square peg into a round hole.
Yeah, for real.
Did you know that a lot of
NBA players don't like coming to Toronto because they have to pay both Canadian and American tax on their salaries? Did you know that?
Mm-hmm. I don't think they have to do that.
Yeah, they do.
No,
it's really,
they do one or the other.
No, they do. They do both, Frank. It's the same like for you as a Canadian. If you were to come down to the States and buy something and then go back to Canada, they're gonna charge you additionally so you can pay the tax on that same item when you go back to Canada.
Well, listen, we've done a full circle. If the show's over, we got another 60 seconds.
That's not true, Mike.
Yeah, that happens to people who come from Winnipeg coming down to the States all the time.
No, I don't think it's true either. That's another subject for later. We've run out of time.
Frank, can I ask a question real quick? Mike Townsend?
Yeah.
I sent you down a package this year. Can you please describe the jacket that was in it?
It was a CFL referee jacket. Red. Oh, my gosh, I love it, too. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, where's mine, Chris? Where's mine? I'll give you my address. Okay, I'll Facebook message you. So.
Yeah, mine too.
Okay,
where's mine?
Okay, that was
Don't show that out there without giving us one.
Okay, all the mics are getting turned off, boys. All right, so thanks for tuning in, everybody. I want to thank Mike Granger. I turned my own mic off. Turned everybody's mic off. Okay, John Granger, Mike Townsend, Robbie J. Emery, Manasseh Gebremandine. I know I ruined that name, and I know I missed somebody, and I'm thinking who I missed. I don't know. Anyway, thanks, guys, for taking part as usual, and we'll see you again on Wednesday, where we'll talk about something God knows what.